It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you all for joining us this morning on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. It is Monday, and we are already in the sixth of the month. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. At this time, my wife, Undreamed Of, will have our prayer.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to come together. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we ask that your Spirit would teach us what we need to know, as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your Spirit. And as always, Lord, we pray for grace, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be granted unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Titled this, Suing for Peace, Preparing for War. As we study these topics in Daniel, we hope that it won't just be history, but that it will teach life lessons. We've learned the lessons of a woman scorned. You know, this man, Antiochus, allowed Ptolemy to convince him to get rid of his wife, and she was disgraced. She came back when he died, when the man who wanted her to be gone died. She got her husband back, but because of his weakness, she poisoned him to death. And but then the vengefulness of her brother, the one who died, came to full fruition, and this woman who poisoned her husband, she and her son were killed, and that's where we stand. Let's have prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you very much for these life lessons. Lord, we realize that we have so much drama in the Bible. We don't need the artificial drama that doesn't teach us any life lessons, but just pulls on our strings of passion and anger and bitterness and prejudice. We ask that you would help us to understand that we are your ambassadors and that we are to learn from these lessons, Father, things that will teach us and protect us even in the future. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is our scripture, brothers and sisters? Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That is Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. God at the beginning can tell us what's going to happen at the end. And with unerring detailed accuracy, we see that in Daniel 11. It's so interesting because the Bible does not have much on the period of the Greek Empire. But the details in Daniel 11, because the Greek Empire was during the time of the Syrian War, so on and so forth. That was between Malachi and Matthew. That's why you don't have any Bible stories about it. But the detail is very, very clear. Keep in mind this was said centuries before it actually happened, and it happened, and we can look back at history to authenticate the Bible. So we're picking this story up with verse 10. Verses 10 and 11 will be our topics for today. It says, but his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. My brothers and sisters, remember, what is the setting here? Well, Laodicea, the disgraced wife who came back, killed Berenice, who had taken her place, and his son and her handmaids, and her son and her handmaids. And Berenice's brother, Ptolemy III, had come and conquered and killed Laodicea and her son, who was ruling. And that's where verse 10 picks up. So his sons refers to the sons of Laodicea's son. So it says, I have a note, the sons of Seleucus Callinicus, the son of Laodicea, who was killed by Berenice's brother Ptolemy, were Seleucus Coronus and Antiochus Magnus. So let's just put it up. Some of these words aren't words we normally use. These aren't names we normally use. But just remember, in the king of the north, in the north, Laodicea killed her husband by poisoning because he had gotten rid of her. And then she killed the woman who had previously taken her place. It was that woman's brother who came with an army and killed her and her son. This son, the Seleucus Callinicus, or Callinicus, I'm not sure how to say it. It was his son that vowed revenge for their father's death and their grandmother's death. So you have this rivalry, brothers and sisters, back and forth. And that's what actually happened in the Syrian wars. The Bible told us ahead of time with unerring accuracy. So notice it says, in the word, it says the sons, plural. It says, but his sons, okay? The sons shall be stirred up. So both sons, he had a son with the first name, Seleucus. He had a son with the first name, Antiochus. Antiochus. They were both angry, and they both vowed revenge against the king of the south, Ptolemy particularly. And they were massing a great army. The generals didn't really care for Seleucus, him being the oldest. He actually took the throne, and they poisoned him. Brothers and sisters, I'm just so happy I didn't live back in that day. I'm just so happy I know Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it was always watching your back. Am I going to get poisoned? There's something in this drink. You know, somebody got to stab me in the back. Not to say that it's any better now. I realize we have a lot of backstabbing, even if it's not always literal, things that are happening today, friends. And I'm here to tell you that's why we need Jesus on our side. That's why we don't need to do anything unnecessarily to create enemies in this world, friends. But we need to stand for the truth and love the people. Amen. And so what this is basically saying is it mentions the two sons. But notice it says, and one shall certainly come. Why is that? Because King Seleucus was poisoned, and then Antiochus, his younger brother, took the throne. His generals, the generals of the army, liked him better, and they say he was just more likable, more wise, and, you know, appealing to the people. Okay? Some kings are just like Rehoboam, you know. He just wants to be in control and tax the people. Not a good thing. The Bible says, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. This is when Antiochus and his army went and they met the general of Ptolemy, who had actually succeeded his father. This is no longer, I believe, no longer Ptolemy, the same one that killed Laodice, but his son. And so the bottom line is, and I may be able to confirm that with my notes. I'm just looking at the scripture right now. And it says, he and one shall certainly come and overflow. This overflowing, friends, a lot, remember, all of Daniel 11, the context is God's people. They're always right in the middle. Jerusalem and Palestine, right in the middle there. And then the Syrians above and the Egyptians in the south, okay? But they're all pretty much, they came from the Greek Empire, okay? So these are they call them the Syrian Wars, but, you know, the reality is this is during the years of the Greek Empire before Rome came to power. And one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then he shall return and be stirred up even to his fortress. Remember, I titled this Suing for Peace, Preparing for War. What actually happened was Antiochus had his sights set on Egypt, but he didn't make it to Egypt. He won a battle in Palestine against the general of Ptolemy. And let me get you that Ptolemy's actual name. Ptolemy Philopater was his name, okay? So Ptolemy Philopater replaced or succeeded his father, Ptolemy III, who was the one who had killed Laodice and her son, which was one of the Seleucid gentlemen. I think that was Callinicus. And so his son now, he has the name Seleucus, and his other son, Antiochus. So verse 10 describes a win for the king of the north, but he didn't make it to Egypt. He won in the area where God's people are in Palestine. We're in Palestine, okay? But they sued for peace. They decided on a truce, and each went back home and prepared for war. You know, that's so interesting. We're going to sue for peace, but we're going to go home and prepare for war. So what is the life lesson, brothers and sisters? Don't always listen to what people say. Watch what they do. Because people will tell you one thing with their mouth, but by their fruits you shall know them. It didn't say always by their words you shall know them, although words can be your fruits sometimes. But by their fruits you shall know them. What do? People will smile on your face and say nice things to you, but what do they do? Somebody might want to marry you, so they might say some sweet nothing, but what do they do? Brothers and sisters, that's why we need God, because he can only help us judge righteously. So that's the life lesson, that we take time to get close to God so he can teach us what is really the truth of a situation and what is really the, give us time to see the fruit of a situation. Sometimes you don't know whether something's right, something's wrong. Somebody could be accused of something, And all you have to, you just need to wait and watch for the fruit, friends, because the fruit will show. The Bible is very clear on that. So we're going to look at verse 11, but verse 10 describes a win for the king of the north. He had done some revenge for the death of his father and his mother. And then when it says, then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress, that describes the truce that they made, and each went home, Palestine being in the middle, each went home. But they began to prepare for battle. Okay? So now, as we move forward, Ptolemy Philopater, he was world-loving, but the Bible says this of him in verse 11, and the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. So, brothers and sisters, Philopater, that world-loving king, when his generals got defeated by the forces of Antiochus, but they then had a truce, he began to build up his forces, brothers and sisters. And it's so interesting, although the Bible doesn't mention it, this was a war that was elephants were used. Isn't that interesting? Elephants. One side had like over 100 and one had a little bit less. And the side of the south, they got theirs from Somalia, and the king of the north got his elephants from India. But they trained these elephants, and they would put men of war on top of the elephants, and they could use the elephants to strategically stop the cavalry. See, when you have men on horses and they got swords and slinging, you know, it's very tough for foot soldiers to handle a cavalry, okay? So even in modern time, they call our tanks the cavalry because it's hard for just foot soldiers to deal with a tank battalion, okay? So what they did is they got these elephants, and because the size of the elephants and their bigness and bulkness, they could use the elephants against the enemy's horses and cavalry, okay? And they could even put big baskets on top. You've seen some art, maybe in pictures. They would mount these baskets on top, and it would be full of men of war with bows and arrows and swords and all this kind of stuff, and they would fight on top of these big elephants. And so that is a famous battle that took place that used elephants. But this is a battle that describes a win for the king of the south. As it says, and the king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he, meaning the king of the north, shall set forth a great multitude, meaning he has superior numbers, even superior numbers of elephants. But the multitude shall be given into his hand. So the king of the south actually won because his army was more disciplined, according to the reports of history. And as such, he actually won the battle. So the king of the south is the winner. Again, everything is set in the geography of God's people. The king of the south, the king of the north. So it says the king of the south in verse 11 shall be moved with choler. And although it doesn't mention the word north, it says, but his son shall be stirred up. And prior to that, it says, so the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his land. What was he talking about? After he had killed in the north, Laodice and her son. And so when it talks about verse 9, so the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, but his son, that's talking about the sons of the king of the north. The one who prevailed was Antiochus. He won a battle, which is verse 10. He lost the battle in verse 11, and that's where it sits. What is our life lesson today? You can't just listen to what people say. They said, let's have a truce, let's not fight. Then each one went home and started preparing for war. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us, by their fruit ye shall know them. You should not be so quickly of much counsel. Don't lay hands suddenly on any man, the Bible said. By their fruit ye shall know them. What type of character does a person represent or have? Don't just look at the things that they say, and because you can be deceived. Many a marriage has been contracted because he said the things she wanted to hear, or she said the things he wanted to hear. But once the sweetness of the nuptials were finished or were commenced, then the true characters of the individuals played out. Many a business has been destroyed by a business partner who came and said the right thing, but they were not diligent. All parties not diligent. So God is teaching us some life lessons. Let's be honest and godly and wise and not too quick to just because some people say they want peace, they might be secretly preparing for war. We live in a very evil time, brothers and sisters, and we're not supposed to be evil, but God warns us that there are evil people in this world. And so we can, just because he's our protector, he can give us wisdom to avoid many a pitfall. That's our message for today. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our wellness segment, the torso thaw. And after that, we'll come back and we'll have a health message from Sister Lenny. And she'll be talking to us on the subject, being gentle with ourselves during times of grief. You know, we've had times of grief. Many of us have lost loved ones. I'm looking forward to this message, being gentle with ourselves in times of grief. At this time, let's take a break with the torso song.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved, are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved, you can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered, this is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, indulge and you run from the scale, the our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. This time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. Praise God. All right, friends. God is good. We're getting ready to get ready to hear a nice message of help from Sister Lenny on the subject, being gentle with yourselves or ourselves during times of grief. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Being gentle with ourselves during times of grief. The process of adapting to change and loss takes energy. Grief is draining, sometimes exhausting. Some people need to cocoon for transformation while going through grief. We may feel more tired than usual. Our ability to function well in other areas of our life may be reduced temporarily. We may want to hide out in the safety of our bedrooms. Grief is heavy. It can wear us down. It's okay to be gentle with ourselves when we're going through change and grief. Yes, we want to maintain the disciplines of recovery, but we can be compassionate with ourselves. We do not have to expect more from ourselves than we can deliver during this time. We do not even have to expect as much from ourselves as we would normally and reasonably expect. We may need more rest, more sleep, more comfort. We may be more needy and have less to give. It is okay to accept ourselves and our changed needs during times of grief, stress, and change. It is okay to allow ourselves to cocoon during times of transformation. We can surrender to the process and trust that a new, exciting energy is being created within us. Before long, we will be okay.
Amen.
I just want to share with you some things that happens when we're going through grief. I know when I lost my dear, precious mother, I felt like half of me went with her. I got so sick. Grief can have a negative physical impact on our health, or as our body is flooded with stress hormones like cortisol. Grief causes depression, and if you're already depressed, it makes it worse. Stress, denial, it can change the immune system. It can increase pain. It raises the blood pressure. It can give you no desire to eat. It can cause you not to sleep. Grief is something that cannot be cured. You can't cure grief, but you can. It can be helped. There is help for grief, and that help comes in Jesus Christ. He will help you. He will guide you. He will ease the pain. It will never go away, but you can manage that pain. Sometimes I still cry for my mother. She's been gone since 2004 because I'll think of something that we did or think of something that we said, and it makes me cry. And so we want to take care of ourselves during the time of death and grief, because if we don't, it will make us sick. It really will. This morning's health segment is coming from The Language of Letting Go, pages 297 to 298. May God be with you today as you relax and be gentle with yourself. Thank you and blessings to you.
Amen. What a blessing. Roll call time. Sharing and caring. We start with Brother Peyton out of North Carolina saying good morning to us all. Sister Angela, South Carolina. Not so sure where Felicia is. God bless you. We got Sister Salita out of Virginia saying good morning to us. Sister Gloria also out of Virginia. And Sister Gloria, we're so grateful that God has given us this message this morning. They've had a loss. Her younger sister passed away. So we praise God for this message. We also have another sister, our dear sister, Lorian out of Indiana, who not too long ago lost a daughter. We've all lost relatives. I lost my mother this last May. So brothers and sisters, God is merciful. And we thank God for this message. Sister Tuesday out of Virginia, good morning to you. And Sister Gloria says thank you to us. All right, God bless. And on the call, we have represented Ohio again. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware and Delaware and Delaware again. We have New York. We have, I believe that's New York. No, I believe that's Michigan. Then we also have New York. We have Oklahoma. And we have Georgia. All right. We have plenty of time. If there's anyone that'd like to share anything, please feel free. Press star 6. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and type your message, and we'll read it and address it. I hope you all are having a wonderful day. I hope you are still being blessed by that extra hour of sleep we got 2 nights ago. And we spring forward. When spring comes, though, we'll lose it. So, but we thank God. We'll take every blessing we can get. Amen? Amen. Well, we're coming now near the end of our training school. We have two other scheduled classes, and it's been a true blessing, true blessing. So we want to let you know God is calling this ministry to help train people and amass an army of godly medical missionaries that act like family, friends. We've got to care one for another and show that we really love the Lord. There's no one in the queue. At this time, we would just ask that we keep Sister Gloria and her family in prayer as she lost her sister, as I just mentioned. We want to keep our friends of the ministry, Bachi and Daphne, as they are going to sentencing. The judge will be merciful to them. And we do have a call, actually, and we'll go ahead and take that call from Sister Gail. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Good morning to everyone. I want to share with you that I had an opportunity this morning to share with a body of believers with whom I'm connected for early morning prayer Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays each week. And I was given a platform to share something concerning Thanksgiving, and there are 12 people who are going to speak on the topic. I chose to sort of turn things around a little bit, and my time of sharing was on giving thanks and thankful giving, and I had an opportunity to conclude with sharing with everyone that I wanted to give them something. I wanted to leave them with information about a live-free lifestyle, of course, meaning a torso. So I want to share with you this morning that there is opportunity for us to take what we're learning and share with others, and that there is a world of believers out there who need to hear the health message. So once again, I'm grateful for Pastor Shellam, Sister Maria, and all of you who encourage me every morning just by being in fellowship with you. So praise God. Have a blessed day. Walk with the King today and be a blessing.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Is there anybody else that wants to share anything before we have our closing prayer? All right, I'll actually turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Okay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for given us opportunity to allow your spirit to teach us. And as we continue to be fed your word, help us, Lord, with interpretation. Help us with sharing. Help us with grace, knowledge, and understanding. As always, Lord, we need your wisdom in all things that we do, for without it, we can do nothing and be nothing. We ask that your spirit will continue to lead, guide, direct, and instruct our lives as we follow you faithfully. And we know, Lord, that certain times of the year, we are reminded of those that are no longer with us. And their very lives have touched our hearts in such a special way that only you can fill that void, and only you can bring peace, harmony, love, strength, and even joy. And we just pray that as we go through these times, as we approach this holiday season, that you would be able to help us, Lord, in our time of despair, in our time of need. And we just pray that we have a God who hears and answers us and can comfort us and give us strength when we are needed to be strengthened. And we just thank you, Lord, for it all. We thank you for the fellowship, the things that were shared this morning. We know that the sisters have shared things from their hearts, and we are ever grateful for their testimonies and their praises. And we just pray, Lord, that you will bless their lives and the lives of those that they touch. We ask that you would be with everyone on the line who have silent petitions. And as we continue to press those petitions before you, we know that you're working everything out always in accordance with your perfect will and your timing. And we put forth the petitions that you will still be with those. We know Sister Glorious loves her sister. We know that our dear brother Walker loves his sister. And we know that there's been other losses that have happened over some time recently. And we just pray for each one who has lost a loved one that you will continue, Lord, to just comfort. And we pray that you would be with Baji and Daphne as they are getting ready for their cases moving forward. We just ask for freedom to be granted. You can touch the heart of the court, the judge in particular, and we pray that you will do just that. Free them so they may be able to be co-laborers with you in these last days and be able to be reunited back with their family and friends. We pray all these things knowing you have heard us, and by faith we trust that they will be answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith. God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will love.